Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
So here's, so let's come back to March of 2020. Anybody remember that? Anybody trying to forget that? I remember it was mid-March, and I was scheduled to go on March 15th, Sunday the 15th, to Wilmington, North Carolina for the 90th birthday celebration of my mentor, my first Unity minister with whom I served and was in his church for 20 years. And just prior to that, in February, I was on the beach in Florida with the same friends that we were with just last 2 weeks ago. I don't remember when I had COVID, so I can't tell you how long ago it was. And we were sitting there talking about that awful flu thing in Seattle. Do you remember that? And we were sitting there on the beach thinking, do you think it's going to be a problem for the rest of us? Yeah, it was a problem for the rest of us. Led us to close down for nearly 2 years, my goodness gracious. And I thought about what's transpired in these last 4 years related to that. We know the stats. Over 1 million Americans died from COVID, 7 million globally. We live in a flight path to Dulles Airport. I remember how quiet it was. Remember that? Remember how quiet the roads were. And remember how anxiously we were watching, you know, case reports, wondering if we could leave the house without a hazmat suit. And I remember watching and endeavoring to get guidance on how do we navigate this and how do we separate legitimate guidance from deliberate misinformation. And goodness gracious, and all the swings of hope and despair that just we lived through as people, and the heartbreak of watching all that pent-up energy being directed towards marginalized populations and all the ick that came with it. And so as I was at home being bored, thinking about having COVID, thinking, wow, this is a very different experience. Look at what we've come through. Look at our capacity to endure, not only endure, but survive. And it reminded me of a famous line in Michael Crichton's book, Jurassic Park. So having the COVID thing is kind of like living Jurassic Park. Would you agree with me on that? And one of the things he wrote was that because the history of evolution is that life escapes all barriers. Life breaks free. Life expands to new territories. Painfully, perhaps even dangerously, but life finds a way. And I would say not only life, but love. Love, too, always finds a way. You know, individually and collectively, we have survived some pretty horrendous things. And we've got some big challenges up ahead. I don't know if any of you have looked at a newspaper. There's some stuff going on. But here's what I've come to realize, and not just realize, but have reaffirmed, that we as human beings are hardwired to overcome, hardwired to make meaning out of whatever happens, hardwired to keep loving in spite of, and maybe even because of, the difficulties we have encountered and overcome. In the past 4 years, have also made it abundantly clear that we cannot turn a blind eye to what's happening around the world or around the corner. We must continue to remain engaged in the world and in our lives, but not from a point of fear, perhaps respect, but always with love. And always open to those divine inspirations that Mara led us into during our meditation time. Because we have great work to do, great love to share, and great joy to experience. Whether there's a COVID pandemic or not. So I mentioned that we are in the Lenten season. This is week 5, and we are expanding on the consciousness of this idea of let go and let God. What are the things we need to let go of so that we might allow that love and that wisdom that we inherently are to be made manifest in the world? Well, what we want to let go of are the attitudes, the beliefs, the behaviors, the thoughts that are not constructive, that are not serving us. We don't want to let go of everything because we are all have such amazing qualities and attributes as well. But there are some that each one of us has, and perhaps I'm shamelessly projecting because we are human beings. We have a few maybe not so helpful and not so necessary. But perhaps were developed as coping mechanisms to deal with difficult situations in our lives. Sometimes as children or sometimes even as adults living through a pandemic, we develop some coping mechanisms that may have worked for a time and been necessary, but not all the time. You know, it is true that for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. This Lenten experience becomes a good time for us to remind ourselves of our commitment to self-understanding and self-awareness. I mentioned that 4 years ago, I was slated to go to my teacher's 90th birthday party. And you may recall that in September of last year, I officiated his celebration of life service in my home church in North Carolina. Yesterday was the dedication of a memorial, not just to him, but his partner in ministry, his beautiful wife, Marie. And I watched and participated via Zoom, and it was really wonderful to have that experience. We say in Unity that each and every one of us is an individualized expression of the creative magnificence of the universe. And this is true. And we recognize that Jesus serves as a role model for us. And this is true. These wonderful stories of this person who worked to actively create the kingdom of heaven right here and right now, the beloved community where everyone was welcome, where there was a place for everyone at the table. So in the reading for today from the Lenten Guide, Reverend Ellen Davenport writes this. Jesus did a lot of explaining during his ministry. He tried to describe the nature of God, the oneness of humanity with the divine, and our ability to live from Christ consciousness in the way that he did. He told parables, created memorable sayings, performed healings and other signs, all in an effort to help his followers understand their own divine nature and the impossibility of being separated from God. What he did not try to do was explain himself. Who he was, why he was here, how we should think of him. We've seen how he let go of others' opinions. Despite wild speculations about him, he didn't defend himself. He let go of needing to be understood. Even when faced with withering criticism, he did not have to prove himself right. Wow. Wow, did not have to prove himself right. Didn't have to explain himself. He just did what he did. Which, in many respects, reminded me of my teacher, who used to drive me crazy for that absolute same reason. As any time I would ask Renee, so why is it like this? Why do you say this? Why do you do that? He wouldn't explain. He didn't have time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. And yet, I learned so much. Jesus knew who he was, and I think my teacher, Renee, knew who he was very clearly. And this comes, at least from my understanding of my teacher, from his commitment to self-awareness, to humbling admitting his own shortcomings and strengths and being willing to learn from them rather than defending them or denying them. How many times has any of us defended or denied a weakness or a shortcoming? Because we don't want to look bad. We don't want anybody to think we don't know what we're talking about. So I'm not going to acknowledge I have a weakness or a shortcoming. Or maybe I'm going to defend it and say, this is why it is that way. I remember what's written in the Christian scriptures in 2 Timothy For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. That is the essence of who we are, power and love and self-discipline. This implies, I think, that we are equipped to know ourselves and to grow ourselves, even and especially if that process is messy and difficult. Because it's messy and difficult. We've all seen too much television programming, too many happy social media posts, and started internalizing, thinking that there's something wrong with us if we're feeling messy and not okay. But the truth is, that's normal. That's how we get to lean in and discover divinity within ourselves, not only when things are great, but when we lean into the difficulties and the drama in our lives and say, I am empowered to get through this and get over this and make it worth something, make it meaningful. I often say the universe does not waste energy. So perhaps we would be wise to follow suit. Let's not waste a bad experience, any of them, but rather lean in and ask ourselves, how is this for me? How is what is before me for me? How is what is before us for us? In so doing, then we are inviting those divine inspirations and ideas to come flooding through. You know, it's like that joke I've told before, and I might get some static for this one, about the two shoe salesmen who were sent to a far country. And they went to this far country, and the first one sent his report back to the head office in New York, and he said, this trip was a waste of time and money. I'm so sorry. They don't wear shoes here. And the second salesman sent a note back to the home office in New York and said, you will not believe how much money we're about to make. What are you going to make it mean? What are you going to make it mean? We are equipped and empowered to make it mean something. My teacher was very open and candid about his journey of coming to believe that a power greater than himself could restore him to sanity. He gave up blaming his family of origin or his wife and their 9 kids for the fact that at some point in his life, he hit rock bottom. It wasn't about blaming anyone anymore. It was in a Unity church in Detroit that he learned that not only was this power that could restore him to sanity external, it's out here, but it's in here as well, in his mind, in his heart, as the living spirit of truth. Here's a section, a very short reading from the Gospel of John chapter 14 that illustrates what I mean. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me, who does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I did and, in fact, will do greater things than these because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. He's saying, look, I have awakened to the power in me, and that is the same power that is in you. Use it. And if you don't believe me, look at what we've done. Look at the works. Let them speak on my behalf. Let your works speak on your behalf. You know, it's easy to make this passage mean about Jesus, the man, rather than highlighting what happens when each one of us awakens to that indwelling spirit, that indwelling Christ, the divine inheritance of everyone, not just a select few and not just of one. It's everyone. Because if we looked over all the difficulties and challenges each and every one of us has overcome, we would all have all the evidence we need to know how truly powerful we are. And we would stop doubting our worth and our value. And we'd be able to say, hey, check me out. But not from a point of view of arrogance. And not from a point of view needing to explain yourself or defend yourself. In fact, it says in Proverbs 16:8, pride, and I think a better translation is arrogance, goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We don't have to be arrogant. We just have to know how truly empowered we are. And perhaps not everyone will know everybody else's struggle and what you've moved through, what you are moving through today. But it's just enough to know that every single one of us is an individualized expression of that creative magnificence of the universe that we see modeled in Jesus, but modeled in so many others who have discovered in themselves power and love and wisdom that, yes, survives pandemics and a repeat visit of COVID, first for old time's sake. So Reverend Ellen concludes this today's reading in the Lenten booklet by saying this: Jesus let go of the need to be seen as right. He let his work speak for him. So let us go and do likewise. In this season that we are encouraged to let go of such things as limitation and perfectionism and self-pity and pessimism and grudges, let us do so as an understanding that this is how we let our light shine and not only create an abundant and full life for ourselves, but as our vision statement here at Unity of Fairfax says, we create a world of peace, abundance, and respect for all creation, not just other people, but the earth itself. Now, granted, we are all a work in progress. And as they say in some circles, our program is about progress, not perfection. But we have a North Star that says we can do this. And we have history that says we are doing this. And that history says we are remarkably successful conduits of love and wisdom and grace in the world. Peace be with you. Namaste.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 11 a.m. or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.